can't look at the rocket launch, the trophy wives of the astronauts, and I won't listen to their words, 'cause I like birds.
And welcome to Bird Calls, everybody. This is Chris Bozak, your host. Got a great show as usual today. Got some great guests coming up, and also a live update from Northwest Ohio, where the biggest week in American birding is taking place. Hopefully we're going to have Ken Kaufman on. If not, we'll get someone else to give us an update from what's going on out there. But there's still plenty going on throughout the country, and especially certainly here in New England, we're seeing our more than our fair share of migrants this past week. So I think we'll get into what has been seeing out there. Actually, the guests, let me introduce who the guests are going to be, Mike Macchio and Patrick Dugan. They were instrumental in forming the Cove Island Wildlife Sanctuary. So I'll leave it at that for now, and they'll explain what that is and how they were instrumental in that, and there were others instrumental. I'm sure they'll give out some more props when they get on. So it's a great place to go bird watching, and it wouldn't be there without these guys and some others. So if you have a piece of land where you are, wherever that might be, that you think might be good for birding, tune in, listen to Patrick and Michael, and see how they did it. Maybe you could do something similar where you are. Patrick also is well known for his bird imitations, his bird calls, so we'll put him on the spot and have him do a couple of those as well. They'll be on in just a little while in the show. We'll also get an update from Joe Warren from Wild Birds Unlimited in a couple minutes. But let me tell you about a walk I took. It's, there's so much going on in the woods and fields and waters around it. I think I'm going to skip all the looking back and all the other features I normally do because there's so much going on. So let me tell you a quick story about a walk I took on Friday evening after work. So about 6 o'clock, I hit the woods, Selleck's Dunlop Woods in Darien. First thing I saw were 4 scarlet tanagers. That's how nice these days can be in the spring migration. So 4 scarlet tanagers, they were actually chasing each other. Nice red and black males. Low in the trees, great looks. So that was the first thing. And then there were a bunch of warblers, a chestnut-sided and yellow warblers and all kinds of warblers. And the woods were literally filled with the sounds of wood thrushes and hermit thrushes. I couldn't take 2 steps without hearing a wood thrush, a beautiful flute-like song. It was terrific. There were oven birds singing. So in short, I think you get the picture. In short, it was a terrific walk on Friday evening. And I was leading a bird walk on Saturday morning, and I was excited that I was going to show all these people. You normally get some beginners on these bird walks. So I was excited I was going to show them their first scarlet tanagers, and we'd be serenaded by wood thrushes the whole time, and show up Saturday morning and the woods were dead silent. There was hardly a single bird to be found. It must have been a good night for migration, and most songbirds migrate at night, and sometime between Friday evening and Saturday morning they were all gone. Well, they weren't all gone. We had a good walk, and it was kind of sponsored by Wild Birds Unlimited. And speaking of Wild Birds Unlimited, we have Joe Warren, and he was on that walk, so we'll talk more about that Saturday walk, which I thought was kind of disappointing only because it was on the heels of a great Friday evening walk. But I think we all had a good time anyway. Am I right in that, Joe?
Yes, Chris, you are. We really did have a good time, and in spite of what Chris has told all our listeners out there on the radio, we did see quite a number of birds. But the interesting thing that Chris mentioned and that we realized on Saturday morning is that when you go off to a bird walk, and when you're looking at birds out in your backyard, it is incredibly important to spend time listening to what's going on around you. The birds that we did see yesterday morning out in the woods, we saw for the most part because we heard them first. And when we heard, and fortunately we had Chris with us, who is very, very good at identifying different bird calls and being able to tell us what type of bird it is we're hearing and where we need to be looking for that bird. When we were looking for the wood thrush, a lot of us amateurs are looking up in the trees, when in fact this is a bird that spends the majority of its time down on the ground. And so hearing it is not only important, but knowing where to look to find that bird. The one tricky one yesterday was the Baltimore Oriole, because we heard them virtually all morning long, but it wasn't until the very end of the walk that we actually saw one up in the treetops.
That's right. I think that was even a, well, I think that was a male. We got a better look at a female right when we were leaving. But yeah they're when it leafs out, and things kind of leafed out early this year, sometimes these birds are hard to find.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because you know they're there because you can hear them. And you hear the different bird calls, and then you want to look to see that those birds are there. But it was fascinating. There were six of us on the walk yesterday, and we all had a great time. I spoke with a number of the people afterwards because they came back to the store, and everybody had a thoroughly enjoyable time. It was fun to get out there and see these birds out in the woods and identify birds that we hear all the time but don't necessarily see all the time.
Yeah, it was a good walk. I guess that's a good thing about bird watching. If you know, even if you don't see anything or hear anything, you're still out in the woods getting a nice walk and getting some fresh air and some exercise.
Yeah, we were out in Selleck's Woods, and it's a beautiful spot, and the Land Trust does a good job of maintaining the place and keeping it nice and clean, and so it was fun. It was a good day. And now we're coming up at a time of the year. Nesting is well underway. There's lots of birds in nests. There's lots of eggs. We've even had a number of chicks. We had a little house sparrow that fledged just the day before yesterday here in front of the store. And that's always kind of fun to see these little birds as they first come out of the nest and kind of hop around a little bit before they really get those flight wings going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, you know what's the big cemetery in Darien along Route 1 there?
Spring Grove Cemetery is on Route 1 down by the police department.
Yeah, they've had killdeer babies there for about 2 or 3 weeks already now. So
yes,
they got going early.
The killdeers do nest along that spot. The one caution we give to people when you're going to go looking in that location is just keep a little bit of distance.
These are
nests, unlike robins and bluebirds, where you can go right up next to the nest. The killdeer is a little shy, and we don't want it. The one thing at this time of year, you do not want to get so close to a nest that you run the risk of startling a nestling out of the nest before they're ready to fledge. Sometimes they get excited, and if they're three or four nestlings in the nest, they'll be bouncing around, and you could get one bounced right out of the nest before they're actually ready to fledge. So we ask people, use your binoculars, keep a little bit of distance between you and the nest site so that you don't startle these nestlings. But it is fun to go around and watch these different species. This is an opportunity to see birds when they're stationary, when they're at the nest site. The killdeer, you can get to really see them as the female sits by the nest site and scoots around on the grass trying to protect that nest site, and it's kind of fun to watch.
It is fun. It's a great time of year to be a bird watcher, that's for sure.
It is.
So by the time we talk next week, Mother's Day will be half over, so we've got a week to Mother's Day. What do you got going at the store for Mother's Day?
We got all kinds of things. We do, in addition to all of our bird products, our bird feeding, bird seed, bird houses, bird feeders, which, by the way, make excellent Mother's Day gifts. Bird houses and bird feeders do make great Mother's Day gifts because you can put them out and mom gets to enjoy them all year round, watching the bird activity that goes on right outside the window. But we do also carry in our store, in both stores here in Darien and up in Bedford Hills, a wide variety of gift items, decorative candles, decorative kitchen accessories, all sorts of things that make wonderful Mother's Day gifts. And we do free gift wrapping. So if you're looking for that last-minute Mother's Day gift, stop on by. We'd be happy to help you pick something out and then get it all wrapped for you, so you do not have to worry about where you're going to get wrapping paper and where you're going to find a card and all the rest of that stuff. We'll take care of all that for you right here in the store.
All right, that sounds terrific. What? How can people find you, Joe?
You can look us up on the Internet, but in Darien, we're on Heights Road across the street from the Noroten Heights Railroad Station, right next door to the Noroten Heights Post Office. In Bedford Hills, we're up on Route 117, North Bedford Road, across the street from the Splash Car Wash, and next door to Buetti's Delicatessen. Stop by and visit us. Anybody comes in and mentions this radio program gets a free 5-pound bag of bird seed. And we look forward to seeing people in the store.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe. Thanks for your support of the show. And, you know, thanks
Our
for
pleasure,
your weekly
Chris.
Update.
It's always-
All right. I think we lost Joe there. Okay. So we're going to, so as I said, we'll have Mike Macchio and Patrick Dugan on in a couple minutes here. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get our update from Northwest Ohio. They're seeing so many birds there that they can't pull themselves away to call just yet. But we'll get an update from the biggest week in American birding. And remember, if you miss any shows, it's birdcallsradio.com, and all the archives are there, all the information on upcoming guests and all kinds of fun stuff. Birdcallsradio.com. And I never said hello to Armando. How you doing, Armando? He's pushing buttons and making me sound good over there.
What's going on, Chris?
Not much.
How's doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How's your show doing?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. All right. A little bit different than talking about birds, huh?
A little bit. This Friday, I got a Bob Marley special coming in.
Oh, this coming Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, Armando does a classic rock show Fridays from 4 to 5 on 1490 WGCH.
Should we put Marty on real quick? She's on hold. Let's put her on real quick.
If she's ready.
Let's see. I'm going to surprise her.
All right.
If I can get her on.
Okay. As I said, Marty is... she's a nice
Marty's
Connecticut
there?
Gal
there?
In northwestern Ohio for a couple weeks for the biggest week in American birding.
See if I can get her on.
And, of course, we had Ken Kaufman on a couple weeks ago, and Kimberly Kaufman was on a couple months ago. They were talking about it. So if you want more information on the biggest week in American birding or, you know, Black Swamp or McGee Marsh,
I'm gonna talk to her
give those archives a listen on birdcallsradio.com.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, we're trying to connect with Marty. Anyway, so we were talking about what birds are being seen, and I got an email, and it's always interesting to find out what else is being seen elsewhere in the country. So I have a listener from California. Her name is Wendy, and she wrote, which I appreciate, an update from California. She saw a white-headed woodpecker, osprey, Steller's jay, American robin, and mountain chickadee. So it's always interesting to, you know, some of those birds we see here in New England, some of them we would never see here in New England. So it's always nice to get an update from across the country, see what others are saying. So we're going to take a quick break now and come back with Michael Macchio and Patrick Dugan, and they're going to talk about Cove Island Wildlife Sanctuary. So we're going to take a quick break here on 1490 WGCH. This is Chris Bozak with Bird Calls.
Welcome to the Wild, Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, where you can turn your backyard into an unlimited oasis of natural harmony. With birdhouses, feeders, and baths, no-waste seed blends, and a great selection of garden and gift items, Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop is any nature lover's paradise. Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, in Bedford Hills, New York, and now in Darien, Connecticut.
Hi, this is Chris Bozak, inviting you to check out birdcallsradio.com. It's the official internet home of the Bird Calls Radio program, heard right here on 1490 WGCH from 1 to 2 p.m. every Sunday. Bird Calls is your weekly look at the wonderful world of wild birds with regular features and expert guests. BirdCallsRadio.com supports the show with bird blog postings, show archives, a Contact Me button where you can send in questions for the show, and a special page for potential advertisers to learn how to support Bird Calls Radio. So check out BirdCallsRadio.com and feel free to drop me a line.
Kimry Group is a boutique media service agency helping Fortune 500 corporations, nonprofits, and local businesses in all aspects of advertising, photography, and promotions. Kimry Photo includes assignments, stock images from 1925 to 2011, consulting, permissions, photo editing, and research, as well as multimedia presentations. Kimry Media creates and executes activity for advertising, digital media, and sponsorship. To succeed and show how you can make a difference and get noticed, visit KimryGroup.com. That's K-Y-M-R-Y Group.com or contact Marty Welch Dickinson at 203-846-0359.
Hey, welcome back to Bird Calls, everybody. This is Chris Bozak, your host. I think we got the folks out in northwestern Ohio now. The biggest week in American birding is going on there. And then as soon as we're done with them, we'll get Michael and Patrick on here, and we'll hear some of Patrick's bird imitations and find out about Cove Island Wildlife Sanctuary. So do we have our folks? No, we don't? Okay. All right. Well, we'll get them on. Later. So let's jump right into Michael Macchio and Patrick Dugan. So thanks for being on Bird Calls, guys.
Thank you.
And so I could read off, but you guys, I'm sure, know more about it. Tell us, just give us a quick overview of what Cove Island Wildlife Sanctuary was and what it was maybe 10 or 20 years ago and what it looks like now.
Well, we can go back to 1955, when it was a marshy inlet, that was the natural history of the area. But what happened in 1955, the city incinerator broke down, and the city used that area plus others to start dumping our trash.
Okay.
So that's the beginning of it. And what happened, they continued to dump the trash even after the incinerator was fixed. So some of the local people started suing the city, Mr. Bill and Pauline Bell, and they sued them numerous times. So eventually they stopped doing that and covered it over, and it became a landfill.
Okay.
Then they continued to dump brush and leaves there, so then it became known as the local brush dump or stump dump.
And okay.
Then it became really good for birding at that point. A lot of people birded there before us. And that's how Patrick learned about it, and he eventually turned me on to it.
I've been birding in the area since about 1987.
Okay. All right. Now, for those who aren't familiar with it, I've been there several times. It's a great spot. But for those who aren't familiar with it, it borders Long Island Sound, and it's part of a greater park. It's part of Cove Island Park, so this is a section of that. And even while it was the park, you guys, there were still dumping their brush and stuff there?
Well, the city would brush their... If a tree, like, came down the city, it would end up there.
Oh, okay.
You know, there were sand piles and a lot of brush piles and wood chips. And
okay.
So the city would continuously dump there and then truck it out.
Okay. All right.
But a lot of grassy areas would grow up and ponds would show up.
Okay, yeah.
So I would get, you know, the grasshopper sparrow would show up, and, you know, soar or Virginia rail would show up in the ponds.
Oh, that's excellent, yeah. So that must have been, you must have thought, boy, if we could, you know, change this land a little bit, we could get even more birds?
Correct.
Okay, all right. I think we're all set for northwestern Ohio now. Let me see. We will be back with Michael and Patrick very shortly. Just want a quick update from what's going on in the biggest week in American birding. Hey, Marty, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hey, how are you, Marty?
Good. Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. So what's a nice Connecticut girl like you doing out in northwestern Ohio?
Well, I am out here. Greetings from northwest Ohio. I'm here with Ken and Tim Kaufman. It's a beautiful day. Temperature is 75, maybe closer bumping to 80.
Wow.
The birds have been good. Not birds, but great varieties of birds.
Okay.
And a absolutely wonderful time here in Northwest Ohio. The excitement of the biggest week. We've had people from all over the country, all over the world, actually. Several people from Spain and Brazil, Australia, France, Italy. And there's two-year-olds all the way up to a lady that I met that was 98 years old on the boardwalk.
Oh, excellent.
And yes, it's just been incredible. Wonderful lectures have been going on. Just the excitement of the birds here. It's, the birds fluctuate back and forth. Typically, the usual birds of spring migration, warblers, black and white, black Bernie and Cape Mays, and a whole host, most of the regular birds that you see here. But we hope to see in the next few days a few more.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, not that everyone's in a position to drop everything and jet off to Ohio on a whim, but there's still time to get out there, right? It goes for the rest of the week.
Oh, absolutely, there's still time. It started on the 4th, and it's going over to the 12th. Sorry about that. It's going over to the 12th. And, yes, there's plenty of time to get out here. Townie and I drove out a 12-hour drive. It was hop, skip, and a jump from Connecticut and New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certainly time to come out and join in the festivities, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So who else do you have there, Marty?
I'd like all our listeners to listen to, but I would like to introduce you to Kim and Ken Kaufman. They've been known all over the world. Ken has his Kaufman guidebooks out. Kim Kaufman is the executive director of Black Swamp Bird Observatory, who has been doing immense amount of education for the private sector, and of course the public sector, and the local people to broaden their minds on the diversity of understanding what birds and where their place is in the bigger scheme of the conservation. I'd like to introduce you to them all, and here they are right now.
All right. Well, hello to Kimberly and Ken.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hi, your voices sound familiar.
Hey,
you too. Of course, Kimberly and Ken Kaufman were each guests on Bird Calls and birdcallsradio.com to find those archives. They're both fascinating and fun interviews, as you would expect from the Kaufman, so go back and check those out. So you guys just led a bird walk there, am I right?
Yeah, that's right. We were leading a bird walk with our partners from Birds and Blooms magazine.
Okay, excellent.
It was also a fundraiser for the Ohio Young Birders Club, so it served a couple of purposes.
Okay. Oh, that's always important to support those things. And Kimberly was instrumental in forming that, right? The Young Birders Club?
Can you repeat that again, Chris?
Well, I was just saying it's important to get the youngsters involved, and you actually formed a Young Birders Club, is that right?
That's right, the Ohio Young Birders Club, and the walk was, as Ken mentioned, was raising funds to help support the activities of the club, and we had members of the club out here yesterday helping with our bird banding demonstration. We had 100 people show up for the program, and the kids were right out in front speaking about birds, and so it's a great program.
Oh, that sounds excellent. So what did you guys see on your bird walk that you just had?
We had a fair variety. It's as Marty mentioned, the numbers of birds vary from day to day, so today there are plenty of variety to keep us busy, and we were on this walk, we were talking a lot about the behavior of the birds and their migrations, not just trying to run up a list.
Okay. All right. Now, this is for Ken or for Kimberly, but I led a bird walk on Saturday, and I scouted out the area on Friday evening, and I was very excited because Friday evening there were tanagers, warblers, thrushes, literally all over the place, and then come Saturday morning, the woods were almost silent. So what do you think happened between Friday evening and Saturday morning?
Well, these are nocturnal migrants, and so in good conditions overnight, and they all left.
Okay.
But I'm sure you found a few people interested.
We did. You're right. We did find some. We did find some good things there.
Lots of moose cavorting, right, Chris? There are moose everywhere on your walk.
There were the one on Friday. There were, but then I went to prove it on Saturday, and they were all gone.
Right away, yeah. One of the great things in this area with all the birds. I mean, they're always a lot, even on a bad day. It's interesting people to birding. And one thing we're thrilled with this year is that there are hundreds of people coming out who have never tried birding before. It's just they hear about this big thing going on, and so they say, well, let's try that. And we're seeing all these people who are brand new to birding.
Okay. Oh, that is good. Is that a trend that you've been seeing over the past years?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen a steady increase in the local people who had no idea that this was going on right under their noses. And we've worked so hard at Blackhawk Observatory to build our regional partners and just continue to diversify the partners we're working with. And so we've just seen tons of media coverage about the event and about birding and how fortunate we are to have these great birding areas, you know, right here in Ohio. So just a steady increase in local people coming out who have never tried birding ever, don't know where to go, how do I look through binoculars. It's just even the guides that we have here from around the world from our tour company partners are off the charts excited about how many people they're showing birds for the very first time.
Oh, that's excellent.
And from somebody that comes here to visit the Kaufmans and to visit this local area, it's just absolutely phenomenal, and we see it every single year, even though we missed last year. The increase is just incredible, and the work that the Kaufmans are doing and Kim that's doing from an educational point of view and really getting the word out to your local constituents and really get them to understand from a bigger point of view, I think is a really incredibly hard, hard thing to do. And I just might tip my hat to both of them and to Kim for, you know, bringing this to their forefront, getting them to really understand the bigger picture. And for me as a person that comes out, I'm just incredibly thrilled with so many young kids coming out that are new and that are educating, and, you know, they're bringing their moms and their dads, and they're into it, and their moms and dads aren't, but eventually, you know, that's going to be the case, that they will get into it.
Yeah.
Because they have them around.
Okay. Well, we do have in studio Patrick Dugan and Michael Macchio, and they were instrumental in changing a brush dump into a wildlife sanctuary. So things, you know, hard work from, you know, fine folks like Patrick and Michael are, you know, also, you know, speak volumes for, you know, getting kids and others involved in bird watching. So, you know, people like the Kaufmans and Patrick and Michael certainly deserve a lot of credit for, you know, helping the birds and such.
Absolutely. And it's a continuous work in progress for everybody around the globe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are Kimberly and Ken still there?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I want to get back to Patrick and Michael, but I want them to give their pitch on why people should come out for this week, since we still have, you know, there's still several days left of the American birding.
For this week.
I would say people could come anytime this month. I mean, the biggest week itself only runs through the 13th, but there will be a lot of migratory birds around through the end of May. And just come out and visit. We'll stop by Black Swan Bird Observatory, and we've always got information. Always glad to share.
Yeah, I would just echo Ken's thought first and just say that the festival is wonderful. It offers a lot of great activities and field trips and programs. You don't need the festival to come here and have a great time. These are public areas at Black Swamp Observatory, McGee Marsh, Ottawa National Wildlife Refuge. Anybody can come and visit for free any day during the year. So you have no excuse.
No excuse.
And okay. No right away.
No excuse.
Absolutely. And I think Patrick and Michael need to come out here, too, because Patrick is absolutely phenomenal. Michael, it's just a phenomenal, great place to be.
All right.
So, and I also echo the Kaufmans. You don't have to come out just for the festival, because Marty and Towny come out before, during, and after. So it's definitely worthwhile.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for the update.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks, Chris.
You're very welcome, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
All right. Have fun out there and see lots of birds.
Yes, we will. We'll give you an update soon.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Of course, Marty Dickinson does a lot of behind-the-scenes and work for Bird Call, so we appreciate her checking in from the biggest week in American birding out in northwestern Ohio. And Kimberly and Ken Kaufman, of course, they don't need any more introduction. So let's get back to Michael and Patrick. They are Connecticut bird watchers, and they helped form the Cove Island Wildlife Sanctuary. It is a wildlife sanctuary, not just a bird sanctuary, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you were talking about, let's take it from when it was a brush dump and there were still birds coming to how it is now. What's kind of the process that you have to go through to do that?
Well, if you jump ahead to 1997, the city came out with an open space master plan that essentially eliminated that area, and they wanted to put in what they call the Great Lawn with pavilions and bicycle trails and essentially turn it back into a monoculture. And, you know, we were informed of this, and we didn't know exactly what to do, but we got some support. One of the first people that helped us out was Jane Moffitt from the Connecticut Audubon, and she gave us a lot of help on things to do. But essentially we put together a slideshow and a talk, and we talked to Greenwich Audubon, the Ecological Council of Stamford, Save the Sound, garden clubs. We went to the land use bureau chief, the director of operations, and
so we gave slide shows to all these people, you know, the city,
all right,
and clubs and garden clubs and Audubon societies, and you know, to get help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In saving this area,
essentially, right. Explained that the wildlife that was there, and then later in the year they changed that plan to they replaced the Great Lawn and decided just to add a nature trail.
Okay.
So that was one of the first steps.
Yeah, excellent. Now, you were saying even before it turned over, there were rails there, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What can you tell our listeners what rails sound like?
Like clapper or king is.
All right.
Or, sorrow. Or like Virginia.
Okay. Now that was Patrick himself. He's not. He's not using iPhones or any kind of recording. So those are the rails from Patrick. We'll get more. We'll mix in some more bird imitations as we go along here. And then obviously there's the grunt work and the work on the ground that you guys are doing, you know, the average folks, so to speak. But to get anything like this, you need the help of politicians. Who are some of the politicians that helped you out as you went through this process?
Well, we were pleased that they changed that to a nature trail, but it wasn't enough for us. We wanted concrete, something concrete. And so then we started getting into our local politicians, our representatives, especially Paul Esposito helped a lot. We talked to the Long Island Sound Task Force. One of the biggest things we did was we applied for an IBA status, the Important Bird Area,
okay,
which we did receive in 2001. We were one of the first eight. And, in the state of Connecticut, yes.
Okay. All right.
Right. We kept meeting with our local representatives, and all this built up until in 2004, the Cove Island Park as a whole celebrated its 50th anniversary, and Robin Stein, who was the Land Use Bureau Chief, did announce that his quote was, "Today's Cove Island attracts more than just people. It has become a haven for scores of different bird species who migrate there in the spring and fall. The state has contributed money to build and maintain a sanctuary, which the public will have access to." So
okay.
That was a tremendous announcement.
Yeah, that must have been a proud moment for you guys hear that.
And the money came from Maura Lyons, who was our state representative, and she was retiring that year and asked the state for a grant, and they granted that money to us.
All right, and of course, Daniel Malloy was the mayor of Stamford at the time, is that correct?
That's correct.
He's obviously the current governor of the state, but how was he in favor of this, and did he help you out?
He was tremendously. He was very in favor of it.
Okay.
So in October of 2006, he declared it a sanctuary.
Okay.
It was a ceremony, city ceremony on it.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was the official opening.
Yeah. So what would you say to others? Say there's somebody elsewhere in Connecticut or, you know, anywhere in the country or world for that matter, if they have a piece of land, like what advice would you give them if they want to have it kind of protected or saved for birds?
Well, my advice always was get as many as people involved as you can, including your local politicians. Okay, start from the ground up and do the talks and get your paperwork together. In other words, photographs, numbers of birds, and reasons why. But educate the politicians, the people, and around you. That's the biggest thing is education, because most of the people have no idea.
And ask them what's on there. A bird walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meet them there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
On the area, and show them what's there.
Okay.
Invite them to the bird walk, but also. Make them members of your bird clubs, honorary members. You know, do whatever you can to get them involved.
Okay.
And don't give up.
Okay. Yeah, good advice.
Right, because the city, you know, people would change in the city, then I'd have to go back and give them a talk again.
Right.
New people would be voted in.
Oh, new yeah.
Yeah,
yeah
so
exactly.
It would change.
Okay.
If you can get a group of people together, our board of directors is very diverse. We have a president, Dave Winston, who's into, plants. He knows all about the plants. He's also on the Parks and Recreation Commission. We have I'm the vice president, kind of a naturalist, and I write we have newsletters, a treasurer, and we have a treasurer and a historian, secretary. We have people from the surrounding areas, the Wallach's Point, who put their input into it. We have... one of our members is our land use representative, so we have someone that directly works for the city.
Aaron
McKenna. We have members at large. We have a Pat Cummins, who everyone knows. He's our honorary member of the board, so we kind of cover all the bases.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you mentioned Dave. I don't think I've ever been to Cove, the wildlife sanctuary, and not seen Dave there. He's a good, hardworking guy there. So it must be good to have him on your team.
It's great. He actually started putting people together at the beginning to create some kind of an organization. So
okay.
And plus, we've had a lot of help from the Master Gardeners of New England.
Okay.
To come in and help us.
All right.
We've done a lot of work there.
All right. I know you guys, there's two things I want to get to after. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll get to lots more things. We'll hear more from more invitations from Patrick, but I also want to know about the new structure that's there, and you know what kind of birds are being seen there. But we'll be back with more bird calls. Do you have a quick call you want to do before to send us off? We better close the windows. I think there's a white-throated sparrow in the room. All right. We'll be right back with more from Patrick Dugan and Michael Macchio. After these words, 1490 WGC.
Welcome to the wild. Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, where you can turn your backyard into an unlimited oasis of natural harmony. With birdhouses, feeders, and baths, no-waste seed blends, and a great selection of garden and gift items, Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop is any nature lover's paradise. Wild Birds Unlimited Nature Shop, in Bedford Hills, New York, and now in Darien, Connecticut.
Hi, this is Chris Bozak, inviting you to check out birdcallsradio.com. It's the official internet home of the Bird Calls Radio program, heard right here on 1490 WGCH from 1 to 2 p.m. every Sunday. Bird Calls is your weekly look at the wonderful world of wild birds with regular features and expert guests. Birdcallsradio.com supports the show with bird blog postings, show archives, a Contact Me button where you can send in questions for the show, and a special page for potential advertisers to learn how to support Bird Calls Radio. So check out birdcallsradio.com and feel free to drop me a line.
Kimry Group is a boutique media service agency helping Fortune 500 corporations, nonprofits, and local businesses in all aspects of advertising, photography, and promotions. Kimry Photo includes assignments, stock images from 1925 to 2011, consulting, permissions, photo editing and research, as well as multimedia presentations. Kimry Media creates and executes activity for advertising, digital media, and sponsorship. To succeed and show how you can make a difference and get noticed, visit KimryGroup.com. That's K-Y-M-R-Y group.com or contact Marty Welch Dickinson at 203-846-0359.
Welcome back to Bird Calls, everybody. This is Chris Bozak, your host. Remember, if you miss any shows, check out birdcallsradio.com. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter, so you can like us or follow us, all those kinds of technical terms. I leave all that stuff to Marty. Marty's good at all the technology. But we are on birdcallsradio.com with archives and all kinds of fun stuff, so be sure and check that out. And our special guests today are Patrick Dugan and Michael Macchio, who were instrumental in forming Cove Island Park Wildlife Sanctuary. So for someone who hasn't been there, to describe how it is now. I've been there several times, and, you know, kind of the varied habitat is obviously draws different kinds of birds. So for someone who hasn't been there, tell us what the sanctuary is like.
Cove Island Park essentially is the whole park. It's about 83 acres or so. And the wildlife sanctuary is just a small section, 8 to 10 acres or so.
8 to 10 acres, okay.
But the it was nominated, we nominated as a IBA is because of the varied habitat. There's sandy beaches, rocky beaches, there's great lawns, there's, a woodland, marshy area.
Mm-hmm.
There's something, obviously the sound. There's something there for every bird.
Okay.
So when we started this project, we recorded 178 species, and now we're up to 297 species of birds.
How many?
297.
297, wow. Okay. All right. Now, I especially this time of year, I see osprey flyover. Is that something you can do, Patrick, or no? Or is that a tough one?
No.
That's tough, okay. all right, so 297 birds. Are you, what do you think?
So within this eight-acre area, we did create two ponds, but we cut it down to one pond area. And then we created a loop for the people to walk around town, and one path out to the beach. So you can see the small salt marsh area and the last sand dune in Stanford area.
Okay.
And then there's about a six-acre parcel, woodland park, all behind the ice rink area.
And that's part of the sanctuary?
Well, the IBA is the whole Cove Island Park.
Is the whole,
plus Holly Pond.
Okay.
Which I've had, 11 species of gulls on Holly Pond.
And oh, nice. Okay.
23 species of waterfowl on Holly Pond.
Frank, he found the Franklin's gull there on Holly Pond. That was one of our better birds.
Franklin's
gull.
Over
the years.
Okay.
Franklin's
gull. Yep.
All right.
Loggerhead shrike has been in the sanctuary. Our best bird is, of course, forktail flycatcher.
The forktail flycatcher,
showed up
in
November, 2 years ago.
Yeah, and that drew people from across the country, right?
Or, oh, yes. 23 states, over 1,000 people came.
Wow, 1,000 people.
Yeah.
I know I was one of them. I was on crutches at the time, and I still hobbled over there to to go over and see that bird.
Yeah, the fact that it stayed so long was the impressive part.
Yeah.
Over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was, I went there twice to see it, and I saw it easily the first time on crutches, and then I brought my, I think at the time he was 6 or 7, my son over there, and I didn't want to bring him too much. You never know with kids, even your own kids, if they're going to scare the bird or whatever. But we stood in the parking lot, and it was perched like right at the entrance. Like we didn't even have to go into the sanctuary to even see the thing. That was great. So did that give you the guys a good boost?
It did. It was a great boost. Yeah,
okay.
A lot of people donated.
All right. What do you? And then of course a painted bunting got some attention.
Yes, a male painted bunting.
Yeah,
showed up last November.
Yeah.
And there was actually another one recorded last December 25th.
Oh, in the sanctuary?
In the sanctuary.
Oh, okay.
And
nice.
One showed up last November for stayed for 2 days.
Okay. Mm. All right. So you're at 297. What's out there that hasn't been seen yet that might get you to 300? Think might show up.
Well, our meadow is maturing, so we're hoping for maybe a
Henslow sparrow. Henslow
sparrow.
Leconte
sparrow.
Mm. All right.
Still need like piping plover.
Oh, okay, yeah, on those beaches, yeah.
Right. We're hoping for like a yellow rail or a black rail to show up
some
in the pond.
Rail or
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, golden wing warbler we don't have, which seems like we should. But
right.
Right. So
and we have about 30 species.
Yeah.
I forgot to put the yellow throat in pathonotary warblers.
Okay. Now, at this time, you need to be a Stanford resident to get into the park itself, and of course, need to be into the park itself to get to the sanctuary. Has that been a problem, or how, you know, what is that like if someone wants to come in and can't get there?
Well, you need a, as you said, the Stanford permit, but we hold Saturday morning bird walks, and you don't need a permit. We have some passes for that.
Oh, okay.
To get in. And next week is International Migratory Bird Day, and if you'd like to attend that, the admission is free. Just, you know, let them know when you get it to the gate how to get in there.
Okay.
I guess we'll talk about that in a few more minutes. But
yeah.
Every town does that, I guess.
Every town they do that, yep.
You know, it's $20 for this year. They started earlier, started May 1st up to, I guess, Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if you frequent the park a lot, it really isn't that much money.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah. Well, now that you brought it up, what is going on there next weekend? Talk about that. And, you know, you mentioned folks who get in for free for that. So what's going on Saturday, the 12th.
Well, I guess this is part of your best week in birding that you keep talking about. It's International Migratory Bird Day, and there will be a celebration at Cove Island Park.
I'm on May 12th from 1 to 4.
May 12th, 1 to 4, okay. Mm-hmm. And I also work for the Hour newspaper, so I get press releases a lot. And I got, is there another bird garden being planted over by the playground or something? Do you guys know anything about that, or what is that all about?
Yeah, there's another organization, Cove Island Park Conservancy, which we're also a part of.
Mm-hmm.
But we've received a grant from the Disney Foundation for $5,000 to replant some of that buffer zone between the children's playground and Holly Pond, where a lot of that vegetation was destroyed, and it's going to be all natural habitat. And there'll be a ceremony. The mayor's going to be there. It's going to be an opening ceremony. There will be some a live bird show, live Birds of Prey. I believe that's at 2 o'clock.
Oh, nice.
A lot of educational things going on.
Educational activities.
Do you guys know a website where you could find more information, or maybe some Google searches that you might check?
It's www.Connecticut Audubon.
AudubonConnecticut.org. Okay.
Yes, you have to make that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun day.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get into some of the other, as we mentioned, it's a wildlife sanctuary, not just a bird sanctuary. But before we get into some of the other things that you might see there, Patrick, you got any calls you want to do? Something that you might see there? What's there now that you can
like you mentioned, scarlet tanagers.
Okay. That is cool.
You know, things like prairie warbler. Or field sparrow. Black-throated green. Or black-throated blue. Or worm eating.
Very cool. And again, that's all without electronics. He's just kind of pursing his lips a little bit, and these weird sounds are coming out. So when did you discover you had a talent for that?
Well, I started whistling at a young age, you know, around 6 or so. But when I started to get into birding when I was about 21 or so, and then I started to imitate some of the bird calls.
Okay. Was it something that you obviously have to practice at, you know, or do you have some gift where it just comes out? You hear it and it comes out. You have
to practice many hours of being alone and practicing.
That's like, I asked Frank Gallo. He did a barred owl for me. And I said, how did you do that? I said, well, I practice alone in front of a mirror in my bathroom for a long time. Yeah, that's cool. Owls been seen there?
Yes, I've had short-eared owl, long-eared owl, screech owl.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, here, let's hear that barred owl again. That's just neat. All right, so okay, let's tell us about some of the other things that you might see there other than birds.
Well, we called it a wildlife sanctuary because we realized, you know, there's a lot more there than just the birds. Initially, we wanted to name it a bird sanctuary, but we changed that. But we keep track of the butterflies, 63 species.
63 butterfly species, okay.
Yeah, dragonflies, 24 species.
Dragonflies and damselflies, yeah.
Okay.
Meadows full of wildflowers. That's all. We try to plant all native species. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of mammals there. Fox.
Yeah, during our planting, we had a meadow specialist come in and tell us what to plant.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right. And you mentioned something about this special dragonfly that showed up. Well, what was that?
A variegated meadowhawk.
Okay.
From the west. It's fourth state record.
Fourth state record for that. Okay. Mm. All right. Now, obviously, you guys know a lot about birds. I've run into you guys on your bird walks, and where I would just walk by thinking there's nothing there, you're pulling out all these bird species and pointing them out. But are you guys as attuned to the butterflies and dragonflies? Do you know all those species when you see them, too?
Yes, majority of them. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
What about some? I also carry around nets, and we're not sure what something is. I have, you know, nets to capture them and ID guides.
It's like, okay.
It's a little more difficult than birds. You need magnifying glasses. We work at it.
All right. Yeah. Good. I've tried, but I'm struggling enough with the birds. I know the comments. That Friday evening walk I was talking about in Selleck's Woods, which is only, you know, as the crow flies, a couple miles away from Cove Island. There are tons of butterflies. Have you guys noticed a lot of butterflies this year?
Yes.
Maybe early hatch or something?
Early on, yes. It was earlier dates than normal that we noticed, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been seeing one American lady, question marks.
And red admirals are migrating.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Eastern commas and bull sulfurs.
Right.
And
pearl crescents. And, they're... We have a good number of those, and those are increasing over the years. Our meadow is maturing, as we mentioned, but what happened along with that, we're getting great numbers of crickets and grasshoppers.
Okay.
That weren't there originally, and that of helped our flycatchers stay around for that amount of time, because there was plenty of food for it.
Yeah.
Plus, we're planting butterfly gardens.
Right, okay.
Right now. Mm-hmm. And putting, you know, special species up for the attracting and breeding of the butterflies, what they like.
Okay.
It's kind of an experimental garden. We're just planting host plants just to see if they can breed there.
Okay.
And obviously complete their whole life cycle right there.
Okay. And for something like this, you'd want to stick with native plants, right?
Correct.
I would assume.
Yeah. Native host plants, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you got to see what you know, the larvae feeds on and what the adult feed on and plant that.
Okay.
If you're attracting a certain species of butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what we're doing.
All right. We got a couple minutes left, but tell us what do you want to see 5 or 10 years from now? We know what it came from. What are you happy with how it is and maintain it, or what are your kind of plans going forward?
Well, we just put up a chimney swift
tower.
Chimney swift tower. Okay. Yeah, that was... That's neat.
Again, it's kind of experimental, but hopefully we get maybe some breeding birds or migrating birds through. Again, a lot of the work we do is with grants from Audubon Connecticut, and they helped us out with that, and they helped us out with the butterfly garden and purple martin gourds we have there. That,
mm-hmm.
It's a structure about 18 inches by 18 inches by 16 feet.
16 feet, you definitely notice it when you walk in there. That's neat. So, hopefully the Swiss will come. Yeah. So, and you know, any last? Well, I guess you gave advice to people already. You know.
Well, my toughest bird that I took me over 6 months to practice and learn is the winter wren.
The winter wren. Okay, Patrick Dugan on the winter wren. That is weird. Very cool. Very cool. I'm going to have you do that again. I'm just going to sign off real quick. So I want to thank Michael Macchio and Patrick Dugan. So you heard the story of Cove Island Park. So if you're wondering what to how to protect something, listen to this archive again and learn how to do it. And don't forget International Migratory Bird Festival there next Saturday from 1 to 4. Yeah. Be sure and show
There's
up.
A lot
for that.
More going on than we had time to mention. It's great for the kids. Good educational. Yeah, very educational.
Okay. So Google that or check out the website that Michael mentioned before, and that should be great fun. I'd like to thank Marty Dickinson, Ken Kaufman, and Kimberly Kaufman. They checked in from Northwestern Ohio. So thank them. Thank Joe Warren for checking in before. And thank you guys. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for your great work at Cove Island. You guys did great work, and it's a nice place to be. So archives at birdcallsradio.com, and we'll see you next week here on 1490 WGCH on Bird Calls. And let's hear that winter wren one more time, Patrick. That is neat. All right. Thanks for listening, and thank you guys again.
This is your community radio station.